Hello, hello. Happy Sunday, Peasant Chat. That's right. We're doing Peasant Chat shit today. We are talking to poor people that ask stupid questions. There is no way of paying me on this chat. We're just basically going to talk some shit. And I'm going to ask you guys right off the rip to let me indulge for a little bit for about 15 minutes. I got a bunch of stuff to show you. I want to go over the comments on the last EPA video that I uploaded about the court case, RESC versus EPA, where they were filing the case. And you guys actually got to hear the industry's arguments to allow us to convert street cars, meaning a car with a VIN number, over to a race-only car, and the EPA's interpretation of why they shouldn't do that. So I'm going to give you about a 10-minute intro on that. Then I'm going to show you some clips of videos that I was going back. I was going to do like a best of compilation because I got a lot of content. And I'm like Nostradamus, and I'm looking back at 3 or 4 years ago of the stuff that I said was going to happen, and a lot of stuff came true. And I stumbled across a couple of videos that I forgot I even made. Like, I literally forgot I even made. So I'm going to go over those real quick. So just, you know, give me a little bit, and then we'll talk to the poor people. So as always, we like to thank Mr. Rob Bowen from Parts Farm, Rami Zaidan from Two Auto Solutions, and Ben Callimer from Callimer Transmissions. Yes, we have three sponsors on the show. We have Parts Farm, Two Auto Solutions, Ben Callimer. I still don't have the logo up there properly, but I will get going on the third logo to show everyone the love and, show my appreciation for everyone that follows me on the chat channel. Say hi to the people, get to the videos, then we'll talk some general shit for a little while till about 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, an hour and a half of peasantry. I do 2 hour-and-a-half shows. That's Sunday and Tuesday. Monday, Thursday, and Friday, I do 1 hour shows at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So stop asking me what time I'm on. You should know by now. The pastries have arrived. Fresh Pasteles and Fresh Pastelazo, Wesley Stewart, Victor Garza, Monty 540, Cabi Coyote, Andy Ali, Josh Roy, Chrome Taint, Smiles, Clean 93 GT, Naldo 302, Phil Godfather, Rodney B. Darwin, Ron Lowenberg, John DiNapoli, Mr. What the fuck? Wellington himself, Garage Built or Greg Built Coyote, both. Tyler Smith, Pito Chiquito, Jared Wells, TJ Sikorsky. Let me make sure I got the mic on the right setting. Yeah, I do. Good morning, says Nat Jew, Tango, Ulysses Al Arcon, Rich 50, Angel Puerto Rico, Hot Sauce, Ali Al Husseini, Ale Al Husseini. I suggest giving likes. Good morning, peasants. Greg Built Coyote again. LS Ops are gay. Says, I'm just here to poop in someone's bed and blame the dog, Teacup Yorkies, for the win. Philip, Jason Friedberg, Jay, go all the way to the bottom. We got CMD, Ported Parachute. Yes, I did hit 61,000 subscribers. Thank you guys for subscribing. Too early for this shit. JB, Sleeper SVT, and JPR, good morning. Betcha, thank you very much. Okay, so let's go over the comments real quick. Let's share the screen. Let's go over the comments. And do we have Heavy Duty? I haven't played Heavy Duty in forever. Where's Heavy Duty? Let me see. We got Danger Zone. Bye-bye. Heavy Duty.
Heavy Duty. Heavy Duty.
So I'm going to share the screen, and we're going to go over some of the comments you guys left on the last video. And I thought they were really good to cover because it shows that you guys are really, really, really paying attention. So let's check this out. So we have the video, you saw it, and I have the comments sorted, I think oldest to newest, or newest to oldest. Al Lilly says, he keeps asking if this harms auto manufacturers, and the answer is that it does. Many enthusiasts buy enthusiast vehicles to modify them. If they aren't permitted to modify the vehicle, they aren't interested in purchasing it in the first place. It's like telling a painter they can buy a canvas but can't put the paint on it and wondering if that will affect the canvas sales. It's totally brutal to listen to. No one seems to know a damn thing about the performance racing industry. That's what troubled me the most, man, that it seems like not the lawyer that's arguing on our behalf and the lawyer arguing on the EPA's behalf knows a goddamn thing. You know who seems to have a grasp on it? The judges. The judges, I think, can argue both cases. And that's why judges are judges. You don't get to be a judge unless you know something, unless you were appointed by a Democrat. Most of them really have to bust their chops, and they're exceptional at their job and understanding law. And these judges were absolutely on it. I feel there's needed to be a presentation of how much disadvantage a race would be in a motor vehicle restricted by a factory emissions equipment, says Carrot Top. Built from the ground up race car that is not limited by that equipment. In addition, many platforms of the available motor vehicles in the market would no longer be competitive if their emissions equipment was more restricted than others. As example, second case would be a 2001 Camaro SS with a dated ECU and a restricted airflow design, including everything from air intake and exhaust that is all considered part of the emissions control. Right. So he's basically saying, a lot of people don't understand that how restrictive a emissions control system is. So every SCCA car would be illegal under this filing. Every SCCA car, every Miata class, the every late model car class would be illegal unless they had the factory name one. Anybody on the chat, because I am green to this, name one SCCA sanctioning body that makes you have the factory emissions equipment in the race car, meaning they actually check that you have stock manifolds, stock cats, stock mufflers. Is there a class where they say you can't tamper with the emissions? Because one of the judges did ask the person that she everyone that's racing wants to win a race, so of course they're going to tamper with it. Now, if you guys know of any sanctioning body that absolutely outlaws tampering with emissions in a race car, let me know, please. To take a vehicle from a street car into a race car, you have to tamper to modify. This lawyer doesn't know what she's talking about exactly. Lady doesn't have a clue what she's talking about, says Samuel Ross. PD Must GT says, Must GT says, problem EPA and administration change rules on laws that they want without going through the Congress who set laws in the first place. Congress courts does nothing to stop the administration from overstepping their authority. Reason they do nothing is they want to be held accountable for how they vote. Let the president take the heat, since they have term limits. Stop voting people who set these stupid standards. Again, exactly. It's the congressman. If you have a congressperson that is running for Congress, ask them. Ask them where they stand on this. And if they are green to it, meaning they have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, and they're the ones responsible for writing, setting, and regulations, and the EPA just follows that bullshit, time to vote them out. Can we get a new lawyer? This one is not prepared. That was my other thing. The lawyer seems to be, she didn't cite the case law. She didn't cite examples. She did not put it in her briefing. Guys, she did not put it in her briefing as to how certain companies specifically were affected by the newest EPA regulations. I was absolutely mind blown that she didn't have any of that shit ready. We need Johnny Depp's lawyer, Camille Vasquez, on this fucking case. She knew everything there is to know about everything about Amber Heard's and Johnny Depp's relationship. And this woman could not simply explain how the performance and racing industry was affected, specifically the distributor. Oh my God. Fire her. Anyone else but her. Holy shit. 4 minutes in and we see we got the train of thought. We need a better lawyer. This lady is trying, but we're fucked. Exactly. Just remember all these people who worship Trump, let this shit get this bad too. I agree. Everyone let it get this bad. They need to fire this broad, get someone better. EPA equals nonsense. The amount of sports race cars, maybe 10% of the cars on the road. Make the grocery getter and the eco car slower, more efficient, whatever. We leave the sports race cars alone. They don't make up 10% of the smog in the U.S. So most of the SCCA cars that have been converted into race cars have been illegal for all this time. Uh-oh, exactly, guys. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you go in that video and you read the comments, it's so maddening how that briefing went, because the EPA cannot simply explain their position. the people on the RESC's behalf and the lawyers did not come prepared with specifics. They probably didn't think the judges were going to ask specific questions. So it's an hour long video, but it's gotten almost 3,000 views. And that's perfect because that's 3,000 more views that it would have gotten if it didn't get shared. And I just thought I'd put it up there and see if people can actually sit there and listen to exactly how our position is being argued. I've never been in law school, but I think I could argue this case better than her. Competition cars offend me. I'm sure SEMA hooked up with this lawyer. I'm done. It done. Bought myself a Raptor 700 to have my fun off-road because this isn't going well for us. Lawyer from Wish. Right. So that's what's happening. Now, when I was going back to my videos, I was looking at some of the old stuff that I got going on. And there's a new guy who's actually making some videos out there, Black Kid. He's on Instagram and TikTok. And, you know, he makes funny videos that are car related. Someone tagged me on a post about him making a phone call to Chevy to complain about Chevy stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting because I made similar videos in the past. I don't begrudge him. I want him to make money. And that's how you do it. You got to get a following first. That's what I did on Facebook. Then I merged over to YouTube and I somehow kept it going for like almost 8 years. So it's been pretty damn good. But some of the videos that I started going back on and referencing were actually pretty funny because I forgot I even made them. Like, you ever do something and you forgot you even made them? So first example is what I imagine. Now, this guy's was before I even knew shit about tuning. I knew nothing about tuning when I was making these videos. So listen to two examples of some of the videos that I made back in the day. Just clips of it, and I'll probably make a best of because some of the shit that I said was actually pretty funny. So what I imagine tuners say in private, specifically this part right here, made me laugh because, man, after you're in the industry, some of the shit I said was actually pretty accurate. Check it out.
Hey, Bob, do you know anything about this guy named Yolo Douchebag telling people that tunes for under $150 are shit? Well, why don't we just start charging $225 to be safe?
So back then NA tunes were 150. So some tuners raised the price just so that they don't think their shit's cheap. So it was actually hilarious that I said that and all of a sudden tunes started going up in price. Listen to this.
Dyno tunes are a waste of fucking time. All you need is a street tune and you're fine.
Okay, you've heard that. But listen to this.
Street tunes are shit. You need a dyno. Dynos and street tunes are shit. The real way to test it is at the track.
I mean, you've heard every argument. Like, every single argument you've heard. Like, every single argument you've absolutely heard.
Some guy emailed me asking me if we remote tune carburetors.
That never happened.
I just got an email from a guy who said he wants to run a 1,300 horsepower Coyote on the street. He wants it to be streetable and still make 1,300 horsepower. I said, okay, you need to run two fuel systems. He said, well, I don't want to do that. I'm like, all right, then go fuck yourself.
That's what I want to say to people. Then there was another video that a guy called the tuner, again, before I was into tuning, and he had false knock. Or he thinks he has false knock. So he calls his tuner and says, I have false knock. But the car is bone stock with race gas. And I imagined this is how the conversation would go, with that gentleman if hypothetically that was to happen. So check this out. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
What kind of gas I have in the car? I have MS-109. It's a weekend car. Bad gas. So you think I got a bad batch of MS-109 somewhere?
It's funny because it's true.
Okay. You want me to throw Torco in the MS-109 to make sure it's not a problem? Okay. All right. Sounds good. Check my exhaust. Okay, it's a bone stock car. Check my exhaust for rattling anywhere. No, it's a bone stock car. Okay. I'll check Ford's placement of the exhaust to make sure that it's not rattling anywhere.
So, you know, you go back and listen to it and you're like, oh my Lord, you know, so some of the stuff I've actually said to customers, I'm like, check your exhaust. He's like, it's bone stock. And I'm like, well, it could be fucked up. So being on the receiving end of shit was hilarious to me. And the final one, okay, the final one I wanted to share with you guys today was when I talked about the Mach-E. Now, the Mach-E was rumored to be the Mach 1, okay? Back then, Ford put out commercials that was called the Mach 1. It had a 1 on it, and it was electrified. So then I thought to myself, what are grandmas gonna think of the Mach 1 at the time? And I basically made a hypothetical situation as to what would happen if a grandma considered buying a Mach 1 or a now called the Mach-E.
Grandmas and moms are going to go, there's an electric SUV out there? And she's going to gap your ass in your two-valve bullet and you won't know what to do with yourself.
And my God, I was comparing the Mach-E GT to two-valve owners saying that they would never consider a Mach-E a Mustang. I'm never going to consider the Mach-E the Mustang. It's not a Mustang. You have a two-valve. You don't have a say in the matter. And I was talking about too many submodels for Mustang. The Mach 1, the Saline, the Roush, the Bullet, the this, the that. The GT, you know, so I'm like, it should be three. Base GT, GT500. But there's like 15 iterations of the GT, the Mach 1, the Bullet, you name it. Now there's the RTR. It's insanely confusing and charging people for basically body kits and wheels. Okay, we'll talk to the poor people. Just wanted to indulge a little bit there because the EPA stuff is out of hand. We're in trouble if that lawyer stays on the case. And maybe this channel doesn't have a lot of influence. Maybe this channel is a bullshit channel and people don't listen to it. Just like Ford said, a Ford representative, the most ironic or silly statement they said is, we don't listen to your channel. Meanwhile, you listen to my channel. Like, you literally listen to my channel. And this EPA lawyer needs to be either well-informed by the industry. You can't just give a lawyer money, hand them papers and say, here, no, they have to be trained, or the lawyer has to be highly well-versed and invested in the fight. Because if they're not, and they're just some fucking lawyer popping off on case law, you need to know in specific detail what is happening. And most of us know way more based on what we know about the industry and working with people. This is the crux of the argument. Have any companies lost sales because of recent EPA enforcement? The answer is abso-fucking-lutely. Every manufacturer that makes headers stopped selling catless stuff, right? They all stopped selling catless stuff. Cat deletes. Gone. So now the problem is people are afraid to say cat deletes in front of a judge. All you have to say to a judge is this: sir, this is for competition use only. And you remove all emissions components because they hurt performance and can cause damage to the vehicle in a racing environment. In a racing environment, catalytic converters will heat up, potentially clog up, and hurt your car. Furthermore, when the car goes under catalytic converter protection, it spews gas to cool the converters. Okay, it goes into cap protection, making my vehicle less gas efficient, less fuel efficient, meaning I can do less laps, cause engine damage, and have to refill. I am actually making the car more efficient by removing all these emissions controls in a non-road environment. And all of those parts to make my car a race car only, meaning redesigned to be a race car, is not possible because the manufacturers of each part are afraid to make them because they're afraid to be fined or shut down or put in jail by the EPA. And then you cite the cases where that has happened and or have paid fines because of the reinterpretation of the law. It is that, God, I'm blown away that the lawyer was so ill-prepared. I'm blown away. I was listening to it, guys. If you guys have some decent, you know, listening comprehension, you would sit there and go, we have no shot. Remember the movie My Cousin Vinny? Before Marissa Tomei let the lawyer know that, hey, you know, I know more about law than you do. And once, and you know, the kids that were being defended, the vetoes or whatever the fuck, they were like, no, this cousin's retarded. We're going to lose this case. That's how I feel. I feel like I am, you know, the veto, the person representing us is the veto lawyer before they got well-versed on the case. It's unreal. It's unreal. Alex, it's just helping us write a petition to send. Alex is just helping us write a petition, send him. Everyone wrote Junior to send his ass to Washington, D.C. Look, Junior's not going to go there. Junior's not going to go there. Junior would be a good consultant because you have to speak, you have to cite case law. You have to know the legal system. But Junior would be a great consultant because the lawyer knows nothing. Okay, nothing that the person that's well-versed in the EPA stuff know. Like, we know way more after what happened with PPEI, Corey Willis, what happened to SET got hit, VMP got hit, diesel shops got shut down, diesel brothers got shut down, or at least they got heavily fined. Mostly the diesel world got heavily fined. And if you hide the fact that emissions systems are being removed to make a car a race car, a VIND car, a race car, you're going to lose the argument. The EPA is going to say, well, what is stopping those race cars to driving on the street? And let's be honest, nothing. Nothing is stopping a gutted car, not catted, flame spitting to drive on the street. We see it on Instagram all the time, and these guys pop off on it. You know what needs to happen? If the EPA deems it illegal, if the EPA deems removing emissions equipment illegal, you got to go after the end user. But the EPA will not do that because it is a PR nightmare to go after every single person that removes their cats, makes street races, does sideshows, put flame kits on their car. It would be a PR nightmare to do that. And it would be a huge backlash. And then what's going to happen? They're going to have to shut it all down, right? You either shut down the manufacturers and the distributors. You don't think a guy with a welder can make headers? You don't think a very talented fella can make his own turbo kit? You think stopping manufacturers from making delete equipment is going to stop a guy with a welder know-how, fab knowledge, making a badass turbo kit? No, you're not going to stop it. So let's just face this motherfucker head on. You have to either potentially write down some kind of release or something that says, okay, this car won't be on the street and I can't register it. What the fuck, Alex? Oh my. Okay, then no car. Then no car. You either do that or nothing. So you have to decide, what are you on board with? Because a non-catted late model car spitting flames on the street is a bad fucking look for our industry, right? So you have to say, this is a race-only car. And you go out there and you race it only. You don't actually remove emissions equipment, blah, 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 blah. Again, guys, we are playing this weird game. We're playing this weird fucking game where the EPA can't prove what we're doing is actually a problem. It's less than 8% of the total emissions issues, race cars. I think cruise ships, airlines, and volcanoes cause more issues to Gaia than a cat delete E85 car in Texas. It's stop it. They will deter by making it a felony. Is she a court-appointed lawyer? EPA should be banished. They're a money laundering agency. Manufacturers have money the EPA can siphon while users don't. We got Amber's lawyers. We do have Amber Heard's lawyer. So let me ask you what you said with the EMT objection hearsay, because you can't say what someone else said. Okay. And then the lawyer goes, okay, you know, judge goes sustained. And then she goes, okay, what did you observe when the EMT and you objection hearsay calls for speculation? She's stupid lawyer. Both sides are being in right. Both sides disingenuous. Both sides are trying to not say or acknowledge the elephant in the room. EPA doesn't want to go after the end user, so they go after the company by fining them, but allowing them to operate and being compliant. So you're telling me American Racing or any header company or Stainless Works or Ultimate or any of those guys, they could make a header on a late model car with a catted pipe and it's legal. EPA goes, okay, you can sell that with a catted pipe and it's legal. We're good with that. It's got a carb number, blah, 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 blah. And you sell it. Then the guy goes at home, takes that pipe, cuts it, puts a pipe on it. The manufacturer has absolutely no control over that, right? No control over that. And the end user shouldn't be advertising he's doing that. But we got motherfuckers cutting cats, showing the underneath of the car. Look at us. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I just got my stocks up. 40 objections in 20 minutes. They're going to shut down our prep, guys. What if any, Alex? What if any? What if any conversations did you have with Stainless, with blah, blah header company about cat delete? Mr. Flores, what does the term free flowing exhaust mean to you? Simple, a exhaust that flows freely with minimal obstruction. Minimal obstruction. What is minimal obstruction? A high flowing catalytic converter can be a minimal obstruction, but I cannot be held responsible as to what the end user is going to do. John Napoli has the right idea. We should all email that law firm. Header companies will begin making header kits. Right. Thank you. Garage Bill Coyote. Very good. Remember Prohibition? No, you don't. None of you guys remember Prohibition. Prohibition was when they outlawed alcohol. The sale of alcohol was illegal. Then people like Budweiser and all the people that used to make beer back in the day could not sell you beer or alcohol. But you know what they could sell you? The ingredients to make alcohol at home. Little barley, you boil this motherfucker, you put it here, sasso, you made your own beer. So they got around it. So if the EPA is like, well, you can't sell catless exhaust, sick. Every header company is going to sell the header with no extension pipe. Here's the header to the collector, pa' carajo, and then you go to an exhaust shop, boop, and do whatever you want. From there. Unbelievable. Header kits, like 80% gun kits, right? I can't believe this is America. We're supposed to be the most free country in the world, but cannot race our car. That's the other thing the lawyer got wrong. So the EPA lawyer fucked up. The EPA lawyer says, we support amateur racing, but we don't support tampering. Pendeja. What the fuck are you talking about?
Get the fuck out of here, because I'm gonna fuck you up right now, motherfucker.
You're saying you support amateur racing, but we are lawbreakers if we want our car to have a free-flowing exhaust, have no emissions components in a non-road vehicle, making it a non-road engine. You now say we are foregoing the will of Congress, aka we are not in compliance. We are breaking the law, but you support amateur racing. Meanwhile, the Clean Air Act was enacted in the 60s, and in the 70s, motherfucker, you could buy a Torino, outfit it whichever way you want, and race it in NASCAR. And they said that was cool. That was legit. Meanwhile, the Clean Air Act was, but they reinterpreted it and changed it in 2011 and changed it in 2016. Like, get the fuck out of here. Exhaust shops will not touch a car without cats nowadays for fear of the EPA. Guess I'm a bio welder and get good at it. The only two things I'm into are being destroyed is cars and guns. The only two things I'm into are being destroyed, cars and guns. I guess we are racing stock cars from now on. And 661 Racing. Okay, I'm going to give you guys some free advice. I'm trying not to give it away. If you're advertising that you got a connection to forego any state stuff, shut the fuck up. If you got it, you got it. But using social media to promote it is all time stupid. I love you. I love you. I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to keep you out of jail. If you have a plug and you put the fucking facts out there that you got a hookup, shut the fuck up. Do not promote it. It will put you in jail ASAP. Be smart. You think they don't see that? You think they don't see the shit you put out there? They have your emails. They have your financial records. They have everything. PM me this. I'm going to put my Google tab on incognito. They won't know. Bro, are you stupid? Stop it. The judge actually brought up the fact that the big three used to race stock cars, but nobody mentioned that they used to advertise racing on Sunday and selling the same cars on Monday. Why can Ford build a Cobra Jet? Tell me, why can Ford build a Cobra Jet? Because it doesn't have a VIN number? So you're telling me every car that Ford, every Cobra Jet that comes out of the under the Ford banner, every race car that the Dodge drag pack. Okay. The Dodge drag pack, the Copo Camaro, the Ford Cobra Jet. You're telling me just because it doesn't have a VIN number, it is okay? So why can't I buy a Mustang with a VIN number, do everything that a Cobra Jet guy does to it, and race it on a racetrack only? That's illegal. What? Yeah. Think about it that way, guys. You buy a Hellcat because you got money, like you baller. You buy a Hellcat. You buy the Hellephant. You buy a 9-inch conversion for the rear. Turbo 400. Roll cage. Take it off the road because you want to competitively run it in NMCA. You want to race the Dunk Boys. You want to do whatever. The EPA says that's illegal. But if you have a drag pack without a VIN number with the exact same mods except the fact that it has a VIN number, that's legal. That is some fucking stupid shit. Real stupid shit. So you're this is great. Why does Ford Racing sell you a Cobra Jet motor? Why does Ford Racing sell you a Cobra Jet motor? Can someone send me a link to a Cobra Jet motor? Can someone, anybody send me? But it has to be a Ford Racing link to like the power, you know, the blower to oil pan. Okay, so Ford sells me this blower to oil pan race bullet. And then I can't put that in anything that has a VIN. So why is Ford allowed to sell it? Right? EPA, Why is Ford allowed to sell this motor and allowed to put it in a car that has a VIN number if you say that's tampering? But Ford can do it in their own car. Dodge can do it in their own car. Chevy can do it in their own car. But we can't. A fucking hypocrite. Lawyers, bring that up. Oh, my God. I get so pissed off because of the hypocrisy, bro. Like, bring that up. Bring up the fact that Ford can do it as long as they take the VIN and go, it's all good, bro. It's all good. It's all good. Cobra Jet crate engine. Let me look it up. Cobra Jet crate. And it's got to be from Ford. Fuck it. We're doing it live. Fuck it. We're doing it live. Where's live? Fuck it. We'll do it live. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Okay.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Uh-huh.
Right. Fucking thing sucks.
Let me look up Ford Performance. Yeah. Ford Performance. Did they have a catalog? Yeah, here we go. FordPerformance.com. Boom. So let's do it. Fuck it. I put the link in the chat. I don't see it. Let me look up Ford Performance. Let's navigate the website. Wow, bro, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be fucking phenomenal. I love this shit. All right. So motorsports, Ford GT, road racing, drag racing. Okay, drag racing. Okay, so yeah, we don't care. News. Yeah, we don't want to get full performance parts. Oh, here we go. Parts. Ford Performance parts. Get the fuck out of here. I don't give a fuck. Get the fuck out of here with your cookies, bro. Crate engines. There we go. Ford Performance crate engines. Let's see what you got going on, Ford Performance. So this is a why? Oh, look at here. A illuminator, modular crate Coyote engines. We have a 5.2 liter XS right here. Oh shit. Let me, I'm in the wrong one. So I hate that. It opened a new tab. So stop screen, share screen, Chrome tab, 5.2 illuminator XS. Check this out. Hi. Oh, hi. This is not emissions legal. There's no EGR. There's no EGR, Ford. Hey, Ford, why are you selling? It's intended and designed for competition use only, off-highway use only. Okay, so I can only put this engine, Ford, in a non-VIN'd car, right, Ford? I can only put this engine in a car that does not have a VIN number, right, Ford? This part is designed and intended for competition use only or off-highway use. It should not be installed on a vehicle that is driven on public roads and highways. Installation of this part on a vehicle driven on public roads and highways is likely to violate U.S. and Canadian laws and regulations relating to motor vehicle emissions. So are you telling me, Ford, that I have to find a body in white? A body in white car or a 50 something. We need to put this in a 50 fucking something Ford, right? 50 something Ford. And Ford's like, oh, what an asshole. He doesn't get it. You're right. I don't fucking get it. I have no idea why you would sell this shit. Now the small block Fords, I get it, but okay. This is what, an EcoBoost? EcoBoost crate engine. Okay, let me see if it gives you the same disclaimer. What? Who the fuck would buy this hunk of shit? Who in the fucking shit would buy this shit? It should give you the same disclaimer. Wait a minute. Ford, I don't get it. How come you're not disclaiming this motor? For performance high tech? Yeah, EcoBoost engine, part times. Not all Ford. Okay, here we go. Not all part may be installed in performance. Okay. Wait a minute. Why don't you sell it with a catalytic converter, Ford? Hey, Ford, why didn't you So the only vehicles you can put this shit into, according to the EPA, according to everything we know, is this vehicle. This is... Here it is. This is the only vehicle that we can use the Ford Performance crate engines into. Welcome to the new way of hot rodding. This is it. This is it. This is the only legal way you can shove a 5.2 liter XS, a EcoBoost motor, any small block Ford, because as long as it has a VIN number, according to the EPA, you can't tamper with it. But if the same exact vehicle can be sold by Ford, Ford Cobra Jet program. So let me see. I got way too fancy. Okay, so let's look up Cobra. Sorry, I went away for a while. Cobra Jet program. So let me take a look as to what the Ford Cobra Jet program looks like. So Cobra Jet Performance. I got too click happy. Sorry, guys. I got too click happy. Here we go. Okay. Wow. You know, I don't even know what this is. I am so confused. Doesn't this look exactly like a Gen 3 Mustang? Hey, Ford, you know, you build or you're selling a complete turnkey competition only package, Cobra Jet Mustang. So EPA, it's totally legal to sell this car that looks exactly like the Mustang you get on the road. The only difference between this, let's say I did every single thing to this car I could and make it competition use only, but it has a VIN number. That's illegal. But this car we're looking at on the screen is legal. What is the difference if I make my Gen 3 a Cobra Jet versus one I can buy from Ford? The VIN number. Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here with that bullshit. Absolute horse shit. Everything. It's horse shit. Oh, well, we can make a car that looks exactly as long as it doesn't have a VIN number. That's the loophole. Man, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I what happens is I clicked this link and I went to another website. It's difficult to do everything. I need a producer, but I hate people. I hear a knock at your door, Alex. Right. What if I just take the VIN off so I don't, they don't care. They don't care. They deem it. You can like, okay. You guys seen those drag and drive events, right? Drag and drive events are that weird gray area. Cletus's El Camino is what? An 80 something, right? So it's going to have a Steve Morris engine, twin turbos. It's going to drive on the street. Drag and drive events are in the EPA. Again, I love them. Guys, I'm not trying to shut them down. God damn it, you guys. Some of you guys are stupid. What I'm saying is if the EPA deems you modifying your emissions-equipped vehicle legal, then almost every drag and drive event is self-snitching, right? I think it's hypocritical because if the EPA says, well, converting your street car to a race car is illegal because we cannot guarantee you take it on the road. Drag and drive events make you put it on the road. So the industry's fucked up because we're promoting drag and drive events that promote you doing what the EPA says you cannot do. So when PRI goes, look at this badass drag and drive car, drag and drive events should be for vehicles that were built pre-EPA 50s Chevys, 50s Fords, pre-65 or 68. I'm telling you, if the PRI and SEMA are promoting drag and drive events and in the same breath trying to save our race cars to make VIN'd race cars, non-road legal race car only, you are absolutely shooting yourself in the foot, and the judge is going to know that. All the judge has to do is look up drag and drive events and go, wait, I need to get well-versed on this case because this could be life-changing. Let me see. And the judge starts going through da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, I've seen late model cars with turbos this big driving through the streets of Kansas, and the street and there's this thing called, and I'm not going to name the associations, it's called a drag blah 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 drag and drive event. So yeah, that right there takes your case away, RESC. It's bad. We're fucked up. I know several people who have race cars and drive them on the streets legally. The EPA sucks. It's all about who can afford to pay the play. If you have deep pockets and a good lawyer, you can pay a fee and you are good to go. This is not applied to regular people. Drag and drive your trailer car to the event. How does the quote go? When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. Stop it. Stop it with those. If no one's going to do shit. No one's going to do shit. Sick and tired of these guys that go, well, take it from my cold, dead hands. And they knock on your door and you're going to get punched in the face by a fucking cop. They'll take your shit and you won't do nothing about it. I hate. Look, I love you. But these quotes, we're not doing shit about it. All we're doing is quoting. We're Facebook bullshit. I'm not doing shit about it. Let's be honest. I'm trying to put it out there. Hey, look, this is a thing. This is the flaw. This is the flaw. God, it's super fucked up. Turbo sticking out of the hood in the driver view, right? Drag and drive events with 4,000 horsepower race cars. Exactly. So how does the EPA go, yeah, this is exactly what we're trying to prevent. And I'm like, yeah, they kind of got a case against you guys. Sorry. If the EPA was not trying to play both sides of this shit, it'd be over by now and the law gets revised in our favor because of backlash. You're 100% right. The EPA doesn't want to go after the end user. They want to go after the manufacturer. But instead of shutting down the manufacturer, they fine them because the moment they deem them harmful and they take away their ability to make money, they can get lawsuits. It's a bad look. So they fine you to death. That's what they do. I'm not going to say Evan Smith. Be smart. Come on. I don't get how Ford can give you the literal part number of every part on the Cobra Jet and you can buy them individually, but if you assemble them, you're a criminal. This is like, and I hate to say it because I'm not a big gun guy, but this is like guns, right? Okay, guys, get me up to snuff quickly. I don't need the whole fucking history lesson because I don't care. Is there a gun that you can buy that is legal if you buy it fully assembled, but it is then illegal if you buy the parts and assemble it yourself? You know what I mean? I don't know because I don't shit about guns, but that's how it is. So Cobra Jet program, buy the whole Cobra Jet, legal. Buy 18 Mustang, convert it into a Cobra Jet, illegal. Someone says, no. Someone says P80. See this? No. I wonder if airplanes and ships pass emissions. Car people are criminals, but they don't care about pedos. SBRs? Yep. 80% kids. Here we go. Yep. Starts with an A. No, but they're trying to see. There isn't even agreement on this. The gun guys can't even agree. And that's the problem. There is no unity. There is no uniformity. There is just constant opinion. Thought process is different. All I can do is show you that a drag pack Dodge is legal, a Cobra Jet Ford Mustang is legal, a Copo Camaro is legal, but if you were to build those three same vehicles with a VIN number, it is not legal. What a stupid fucking argument. Yeah, we suck again. It's like, hey guys, do you agree with this about law? It's like, oh no, everyone has a different opinion about everything.
Oh no, we suck again.
Anything under 16 inch barrel, everything is going to go electric and it's probably gonna help the transition. Yeah, I get it. It's the other way around. You can buy and disassemble and make it. Got it. Okay, I don't know. transferable machine guns, anything before 1986 you can have, but after that you have to have a SOT, FFL, or pay about $50,000 for a gun. Here in New York, they call them other firearms legal. The AM car industry is between half to nearly $1 trillion a year. What exactly is EPA's goal here? Take away the entire industry? That's ridiculous. Amount of jobs, take it out of the market. No, they'll want you to not tamper with emissions. The EPA's lawyer was arguing, don't tamper with emissions. Okay, so I'm going to race my car and blow it up at the track and spill oil all over the place when the catalytic converter gets so hot. And my car is insanely inefficient in fueling because it is trying to cool the cats by dumping fuel on the cats and running it at 0.77 lambda, naturally aspirated. You'd rather that? Yes. Oh, gotcha. Alex, if you have a golf ball size dent in your headers, would you change them? Just want to know if it's even hurting. No, I wouldn't. Fuck it. Yeah, you're right. There is no unity on the guns either. Right. Thank you. I appreciate. Look, some of you guys get it. And I, look, I'm going to be honest with you guys. There's a lot of smart people on this chat. There's like pretty decently smart people on this chat. And the fact that someone would agree that there is no uniformity, there is no universal thought process when it comes to gun, tells you why the gun lobby is similar to the performance and racing industry lobby. Everyone has their own self-interest in mind, right? I just want to go racing and be left alone, right? I want to have a fast street car and be left alone. Just leave me alone. Just leave me the fuck alone. But now the EPA goes, well, you can have a fast street car, Alex, as long as it's bone stock. Excuse me? Yeah, you can have a fast street car as long as it's bone stock and meets emissions standards. Really? Yep. Okay, well, what if I buy a Falcon? What year did they make the Falcon? Let me see. Falcon Ford, Falcon years. 60 to 70. So let's look what a 1960 Falcon. Ugly as shit, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Okay, check it out. So let's say I'm talking to the EPA agent, and they go, okay, coverage of performance, Falcon. Hey, I want to build a Falcon, EPA. Oh, you want to build a Falcon? Yep, I want to build a Falcon. What do you want to do to it? I want to put a Cobra Jet motor on it. I want to put a 6R80. I want to put 315 gears, 2-inch primaries, 3-inch exhaust, catless, all the way to the back. And look, I drive it on the street three times a week, maybe for 20 miles each time. No problem, Alex. Go for it. We encourage amateur, blah, blah, blah. Cool, cool. I really, really, really appreciate that. And then you go back and you go, actually, I changed my mind. I want to do this to a 1985 Mustang notchback. Okay, I want to do this to a 1985 Mustang notchback instead, EPA. Nope. Wait a minute, EPA. You said it's okay to do it to a 1960 Falcon. Yeah, you could put a Cobra Jet motor in a 1960 Falcon, 2-inch primary headers, and 3-inch exhaust, catless, all the way to the back with the 85. Cool, but not an 86 or 85 Mustang? Yep, absolutely. Huh, really? So tell me, what's the difference between a Falcon, pendeja, and a fucking 85, 86 notch that I drive a total of 100 miles a week? Same use, same shit. I just want to take it to Cars and Coffee and back and choppity chop and be the happiest motherfucker on the planet and get ice cream right before sunset. Because one of them was made after the Clean Air Act was in. You stupid. That's the biggest issue right there, that they allow it for some cars pre-emissions laws and not for the modern-ish cars. So fucking stupid. 100% on the money. If it wasn't for the Constitution, guns would be gone. Bad thing about cars is there's no constitutional protection. What the fuck does it matter what body it is in dumb? Exactly. And Greg Garage Bill Coyote said, you know what? I'm done with these emissions laws. I'm going to build an old car and no one has an argument. The EPA can suck my nuts. because I'm going to build the car pre Clean Air Act. So let's look up when the Clean Air Act was enacted. When was the Clean Air Act? This is going to be a good chat. When was the Clean Air Act passed? 1970. So the Clean Air Act was enacted in 1970. Okay. The enactment of the Clean Air Act, blah, blah, blah. Let me get rid of this. Resulted in a major shift in federal government role in air pollution. Legislation authorized the development of comprehensive federal state regulations to limit emissions in both stationary industrial sources and mobile sources. So we are going to build ourselves a 1969 Mustang. We're gonna build a 1969 Mustang, and you're not going to have any fucking issues, right? We're going to build a 1957 Bel Air and not have any fucking issues, right? Yep, not a problem. 57 Bel Air, badass shit, not a problem. It's all good. We're going to build a 1985 Monte Carlo, right? Nope. Fuck that shit. Can't do it. That, don't you fucking dare build a Monte Carlo, you son of a bitch. How dare you? Where is it? Where's the Monte Carlo? Here. Fuck, I missed this. Yeah, I missed it. This is the Bel Air. Monte Carlo, 1985 Monte Carlo SS. Nope, can't build that shit. Nope, don't do that. Everything else, Gucci. The dumbest arguments on the planet. It's just the dumbest arguments on the planet. And that is how I would fight this case. Hey, RESC lawyers, turn on this chat. Turn on this chat. Watch the whole fucking thing. See the hypocrisy of how Ford can do it, but we can't. Watch the hypocrisy, because a 1969 Mustang, you can do it. A 70, you can't. And then argue your case based around that. Man, some stupid shit. EPA can suck my 3-inch exhaust from my Coyote swap. If I was rich, I'd build an old muscle car, but I'm broke, so I got a 90 Mark 7. That's a nice car. I like that, the nice car. The rule, if you had seatbelts from the factory, you must use them, but they can't require you to modify a car that was once street legal beyond repairing damage because of the grandfather laws. My neighbor, 66 Fairlane, is looking pretty good right now. I'm looking for a Torino or a Fairlane. Let me see. Ford Fairlane. No, and don't send me shit. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is ugly as sin. Oof, this is ugly. This is the Fairlane I would buy. A 1966 Fairlane. Yes, sir. And they can suck my nuts, right? Oh, hell yeah. A 66 Fairlane. Let's do it. Let's buy $100,000. Fuck all that. I mean, that's what we're going to have to start looking at. And look, my generation doesn't give a fuck about a Fairlane. My generation gives a fuck about notchbacks and GTs and Fox bodies. But we have to then succumb to building old shit just so that we don't get hit? Come on, stop it. Got to drop $100,000 to get a nice classic these days. Alex, I remember New York emission inspections was determined by the age of the car, 25 years older and exempt. Not anymore. If it had it, it's got to pass. It's all about the VIN. It's all about the VIN number. Hypocrisy. Objection. Hearsay. 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 My 78-79 Fairmont is illegal to modify according to the EPA laws. Imagine that. Time to go junkyard hunting. Good luck finding a Fairlane or a Gran Torino. Oh, man. The Gran Torino is fucking unreal. Oh, bro, just a badass machine. The one from the movie Gran Torino is so fucking sick. Classic, beautiful fucking car. What a car. I mean, what a car this thing was. Oh, my Lord. It's just long boat, but, you know, what are you going to do? We're going to go back to that bullshit. Southern Motorsport Solutions became a new member. Thank you very much. 66, 67 Fairlane, they accept our cheap non-big block car. Got it. Part of the hypocrisy is that they don't care if it passes emissions, if modified, or if it runs cleaner, right? So the lawyers are also going to say, or should say this. They should say, manufacturers of what the EPA deems are tampering devices have the ability to make the car run cleaner and more efficient, and they're taking that ability away. They're taking that ability away. Which Evan Smith is this? Like, I want to know which Evan Smith. There's one that runs a garage, certified performance or some shit. And then there's the Evan Smith, Revan Evan from YouTube. Someone's hit me up nonstop on this shit. Let me see. EPA's taking moves right out of the ATF playbook. This is a pistol. This is not a pistol. This is a rifle. This is a pistol. Right. Right. That's good. Yeah, he's basically making a good case that, you know, the EPA is doing this. You know, this is a pistol. This is not a pistol. You know, so they're basically doing the same shit. And we're allowing it. We're 100% allowing it. What if I make my car run cleaner than it did new? Exactly. FLKA and FEPA all day long. I think that if the person knew about tuning to the point of letting the judge know that efficiency is at the forefront of performance, the judge can then just turn to Ms. Chen and go, the EPA lawyer, and go, so wait a minute. The tampering is illegal, Ms. Chen, according to the EPA, even if the tampering allows the vehicle to run alternative fuels that cause less harmful emissions to the atmosphere? And she's going to have to sit there and go, yes, you can't tamper with the car at all, even if it makes it more efficient. And that's where we got them. But no. Defund the EPA and the ATF. I want an old Cyclone GT. We'd love to have a 64 Galaxy Sunliner. Sorry, I'm incognito. Gotcha. Suddenly, my 73 is not old. There has to be a way of showing the difference in emissions between a stock tune and an aftermarket tune. We did. We know of somebody that took a cammed Coyote on E85. Nominal, like nothing emissions-wise compared to a pump. Okay, let's do comparisons, EPA. And this is where the lawyer has to take a lead. The EPA doesn't want you to tamper with a 2021 GT on E85 Catalyst. Meanwhile, a 2001 GT can drive on the road, and we know that thing's emissions systems are outdated. It's not running like it did back in 2001. But it's Gucci. It's good because it's not tampered with. Meanwhile, the 2021 GT on E85 Catalyst has less emissions than the 2001 stock GT on pump gas. Explain why you don't fuck with that, EPA. Explain why you don't make the distinction between a 2001 car with an outdated emit. Why don't you have every car outfitted, retrofitted to meet the new emission standards, stupid. It would cost the end user too much money. Oh, so to be in compliance, it's going to cost people more money. Ain't that some shit, you dumb bitch? Bro, we're going to have to buy tax stamps for our mods and register them like silencer guys. My Coyote is far more efficient than the inline six that was in there. Watching past emissions, testing with my extra nitrous nozzles. I got this. What other countries are going to do this? None. England. Great Britain. All that shit. They already did that. Alex, do you have a tune for my farm tractor? Did you know that new tractors cannot be tampered with unless they go back to the dealer? That's right. New tractors have really advanced software, and the Right to Repair Act was fighting the fact that guys in farms couldn't be down days by taking their John Deere tractor that has a high-end system in their tractor. And John Deere says, no, we locked you out of the software. We locked you out of the software, so you have to come back to the dealership. So the Right to Repair Act made it possible, I think, if I'm not mistaken, to have third-party or independent techs go into the software, see what the diagnostic codes are, and fix the tractor. But now they're saying that's tampering. There are far worse polluters out there. We're just an easier target. Since we're talking tax stamps, someone tell me the ATF to hurry up and approve mine. I want my suppressors. My Turbo 6.2 is more efficient than my 300 inline 6650. Ford got John Deere to help them lock down the F-150. Nothing like being forced into cars that can handle that handle and brake like shit seems safe. Correct. I want to go racing. So I'm going to build a 65 Mustang that if I crash it, the crumple zone is as strong as a potato chip. I hit a pole, that bitch is super fucked. But if I want to mod my GT500, my 2021 GT, my 2020 Camaro, my Challenger, Charger, Hellcat, or Trackhawk, there it is.
Hellcats and Trackhawks. They got Timmy on the turn up in the blast.
And if I want to fuck you in the ass, or someone else picks up the pussy, I can't. I have to drive a potato chip, 1,000 horsepower, Coyote swapped 65 Mustang and die. 900 horsepower with drum brakes from over the radiator intakes to spacers that stick to the carb outside of the hood. Yes, John Deere started the Right to Repair Act. Do you think racing will be killed soon and resurrected in a few decades? No. I don't think it'll be killed. It's too big of an industry. Something bad's going to happen. Administration-wise, there's going to be a cleansing. There's going to be a complete wave of like, get the fuck. You started to see it. You started to see it. If you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on out there, you started to see people say, fuck you, dude. Not he, him, they, them. Fuck you, dude. Fuck you, bitch. How dare you? I identify as a dolphin. Jared Wells has been waiting 293 days for my Omega 300 and Benelli SBS. Do you think the big factory in China right next to Whipple is going to turn down their emissions? Doubt it. We're just a blip on the map. When it comes to emissions, it's hilarious to think the EPA actually believes people will follow their rules and not remove stuff themselves and put it back on for testing. Exactly. There's underground tractors, mechanics that have the software that help the farmers. Most of them are former John Deere employees. Just woke up. Congratulations, Alejandro V. The EPA lawyer even said that it was only about tampering. The result that tampering was not considered late, but really, really hate the EPA, says Roger Walls. This is so annoying. I took those off my Hayabusa. Imagine Texas 2K roll racing with drum brakes. Classic. I mean, guys, no offense. Drum brakes are probably better than half of the shit that's out there. I'm not going to name companies, but some of them lightweight brakes that y'all put in on street cars, I think the EPA should outlaw that shit. Y'all can't cut. You guys are putting dirt bike brakes on cars, basically. The pastry narwhal, damn, I got it with a batch of approvals. The thing is with government or big business, it has to be black or white. The gray area costs too much to enforce. The 22 Hayabusa has 3. My car identifies as emissions compliant. Late to the party, like a typical peasant, hit that like button. I identify as a non-binary robo-helicopter, YOLO, single piston TPMS. Right, Alex, that video on TDC was hilarious. Sorry about the wind on the video, but I just didn't want to remake it because I was on a roll. So you're gonna have to just deal with the wind noise. And I love the scenery and the camera on this S21 is fucking baller as shit. Fuck your iPhone, fucking Samsung for life. I love how that video came out, just beautiful. I got Will Woods and Will Woods stop. But you guys are putting these little tiny thin brakes on your shit and you're roll racing 3,800-pound cars. Are you thinking about taking off that Vortec and going with something else? Yes. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to race Jake. After I race Jake, I'm going to take the Vortec head unit, send it off to Vortec to get rebuilt, and then sell the kit with a rebuilt head unit so no one complains. Rebuilt head unit. Here you go. And I'm going to sell it. And I'm going to drive it NA for a couple of months, maybe more, until I figure out my next move. I love that car. NA, that car was badass. Those brakes are for drag, Alex. They're badass. No, that means they got to drag your shit out of the trees after a pass. My Tesla Model Y has performance boost option that makes it a half second faster but reduces range 40 miles. Should I do that? No problem. My Grom has better brakes, B-R-E-A-K-S, than most race cars. What happened to the kayak date video? I missed it. It's on the dating channel. I mistakenly uploaded it to this channel, and it should have been on the other channel. I fucked up. So I deleted it, and it's on the dating channel because that's where it was meant to be the whole time. Watch the Chinese copy Whipple and just call it Ripple. You got five cameras. Damn, I could get every vein in the picture for them bumble chicks. Alex, you're right. The camera on the S21s even has super steady mode, right? You go like this, and that bitch is steady. You could be banging a chick like this, and it's steady as fuck. Steady. Good shit. Don't ask me how I know. Alex, the EPA won't let me fuck them in the ass while they...
I like to fuck them in the ass while he beat up the pussy.
You guys just want to hear shit. You guys just want to hear shit.
But a pinche 956 a la verga.
What is this? Baby milk?
The baby has been able to latch, but I've not been able to produce any milk. It's okay.
To be honest, the EPA will not be able to make this new move stick, as it has been proven since the second it was sold. Mods will live on. You use a tripod? I did use a tripod. Alex, is an aluminum drive shaft noticeable upgrade for a Gen 1 MTD2 car, or just safe for boost? It's noticeable, but not all that much. Play Canelo. All right, let's
get right the fuck out of here, because I'm gonna fuck you up right now, motherfucker.
Did you see that they're trying to remove the Fox Body Holley system? No. You have a link or anything that I can look at? Canelo OG ship. Things like TBMs are good for one stop from 200 every hour or so. If you're racing on the street, you need big brakes like Willwood, Bear, Brembo. Yep, I clicked the video and said private. I was like, damn, good shit. Yeah, it's on the dating channel. The dating channel is doing so well. It's gaining 200 subscribers every month, which for that tiny channel, what the fuck? YouTube. Which is awesome for that channel. If I hit switch account, actually, here it is. Dude, I love. Oh my God. Let me see. So yeah, the camera is fucking phenomenal on that bitch. Let me go to 4K. Oh, 2160p. Oof. Share screen. Chrome tab, the kayak. This is the kayak story. Look at the fucking camera on that shit, son. Bro, look at that. Yeah, you can have your fucking iPhone. Keep your iPhone. Keep your dumb shit. I will stick with my Samsung. And the beginning of the video, you got sights and sounds of West Palm, bro. Bro, come on, man. Stop. The Terminator X for the Fox Body is no more, someone says. That's why we're shot on baby formula, because the baby can't latch. You haven't watched TDC? You need to. Alex has saved me from getting catfish, and this episode tastes these kids. Look at beautiful West Palm. Yep, keep your fucking iPhone camera. Samsung for the win. On my S9. You peasant ass motherfucker. We're on S22s. This is old already, bro. Let me, and I got a nice little thing to cover the fucking camera. Ooh, to protect that bit. So I can just slam it around. It's not a big deal. It's all good. Alex, what mic system are you using? I use this. So I need to potentially do a lav with a little filter, and that'll take care of the wind issue. And that is the next thing I'm going to do, because the sound quality has to be much better. I apologize for the people that had to bear through the wind noise on that video, but I'm going to fix it. I'll get a lav, I'll get a Bluetooth mic, and it'll sound, and I can be far away and the sound will be super clean. Samsung S2, S9 gang. That's a cool shirt on the video. Ben Calamar has a nice shirt. Show us Tony. He's sleeping. I took him out this morning. I ran him with the X-Max. By the way, that X-Max is no fucking joke. And like, you hit the brake on the X-Max, it'll flip forward. You're like, you hit the brake, it goes, boom. I was like, oh, okay. I'm still on my S20 because it does more than enough for me. More than came from the S8 where the S22 debuted. I had a S10, 11, Note 10. Then I went to the S21. I still have my S5 somewhere. I'm still on an S20 because it does more than enough for me. I already got that. There's so obviously shitty things about iPhones, but Apple has their customers locked in. Yeah, like Junior does something funny. Junior goes, oh, look, I can, what did he say? Oh, wow, I can do like a wide screen on my phone. I'm like, yeah, S21 did that, or the S10 did that. But iPhone does it better. And I'm like, dude, I love you. I love you. Samsung does everything. I'll tell you this. Android does it first. iPhone copies it and refines it. Let's just say that. What case is that? Boy, that's a good question. I might have to go to Amazon, but this is a badass case, like a badass case. It's only 10 bucks. It's cheap. But it says Discover Innovation, but it doesn't give me, I know this is the logo. Like if you look at the back of the case, well, let me show you guys. This is the case, right? And it has this little thing here so you can, you know, do the gay shit when you want to talk or whatever. This thing used to be super firm, but now it's like, you know, you want to hold it or whatever. It actually serves as a stand when you can actually like watch videos on your phone while it's standing up like that. It has a little slidable to protect the lens on your camera. Love that shit. Love that shit. Love that shit. $10. Hey, Alex, I decided to swap my 2-valve instead of buying a new Mustang. If it was your car, would you prefer a Paxton boosted Roadrunner or a Paxton 321 setup? Boy, if you can find a Roadrunner, get that. Trying to run 9.0 reliably, off-road use only? Both will do it. You know what I mean? Both will do it. The 321 is as stout as a Roadrunner. Roadrunner to me is Gen 1 King Daddy. Actually, it's probably the best Coyote ever made because you can make like 1100. If you can get a Roadrunner, get a Roadrunner. But 321 has more compression. So I think you'll be able to do it easier on a 321 setup. I got the Galaxy A71, broke bitch, Samsung S21, my work phone, iPhone is personal, and the Samsung has way more features. You got to stand by the principles, not just because it's cheaper. It comes with a cock ring. That's a hell of a small cock ring. What's the phone case made next to the Whipple factory? Boy, I wonder if Whipple has like, of course they don't listen to the show, but they're like, you know, why is Alex always saying we're made in China? And I'm like, I'm hinting at it. I never said you are made there. My iPhone came with a free Grindr subscription. S21 Ultra for the win. Had a P30 Pro before that and was also a good phone, but I still have an iPhone 13 Pro. So you're saying build a Roadrunner with all the compression, then at that point it stops being a Roadrunner. You know what I mean? It's a boss crank, good rods, good pistons, leave it alone. If you're going to build anything else, then build anything else. It stops being a Roadrunner at that point. Alex, I used to want a Whipple 3.0, but I think I want that low-end kick of a 2.3 liter after watching your streams. 2020 PP1 manual will be good for 900 horsepower with a 4 double pump, 1050s, and pump 85. You're going to need like a 15% and a 69 upper to make 900. Actually, it's high compression 20, so you might be able to do it. Now, just like that LS company made an adapter to put a 2.3 on a LS, somebody should make an adapter and a drive kit to put a VMP Gen 2 or a Roush 2.3 on a Gen 3. The hood clearance is going to be an issue. I understand that. Y'all figure it out. Fuck it. I just come up with the ideas. I'm like Elon Musk. I say something, y'all do it. Fuck it. Would Jake know which Gen 1 Mustang had Gen 2 heads? None. Late 14, supposedly, but you'd have to see them because they weren't all like that. Some late 14 Mustangs had Gen 2 heads, but not all of them. Whipple, how does Alex know we make our blowers in China? My girlfriend has a brand new iPhone, and she's like, oh, it's so much better than your Samsung. I don't have to hard to tell her that it's two generations out of date. I'll just get the S23. How do V3 GT350s perform? Really good. I barely see any Vortec Voodoos, but see plenty of ProCharge ones. It's only because of the availability. Like, supposedly, Vortec has a blower for the Gen 3 truck. Where's it at, though? ProCharger does a smart thing. They come out with something immediately. Here's a Godzilla ProCharger. Here's a ProCharger for a Corvette C8. Here. Vortec goes, well, it's 2022, and we're going to now start making superchargers for the Gen 3 truck. Good luck with that. How do I already get that? But they perform well. V3 with a 3.6 pulley on E85 makes 800 on a Voodoo. 10 PSI or 11 PSI on a 5.2 Voodoo makes 800 on E85 with 21 degrees of timing all day, every day. That was my next question. Is there any way to get a 2-3 bolted onto a Gen 3? The hood clearance is the issue. Already have my motor lowered for CJ Manny clearance. Side by sides don't have emissions components, and you can register them to drive on the road out west. Same here. You can drive a side by side on the street in Florida. You can drive a golf cart on the street in Florida as long as it's registered. Stop it. I hit my iPhone 13, dropped my other one, and this one sucks dicks, and the battery life is fuck. Is fuck. Interesting. That's an interesting way of saying it's not good. It's fuck. Would Jake know we got that? S21 Ultra has been solid. Alex, I ordered my BCS2. I have 373. Ben Calamar stage 2. I have 373s and have always been wary of banging fifth on my stock trans. Just shy of 700 real horsepower. You think I'm good to run fifth on a regular with BCS2? No. Look, the Ben Calamar stage 2 has stock gears. Okay. Stock input shaft. It's mostly a stock trans except for better shift pads. Okay, is it a D? Is it a D4 or is it a 11 to 17 MT82 S550 Scotty? Can you imagine what the EPA approved racing event would smell like? Any thoughts on the On3 single turbo kits? Look, everyone in this chat knows that the On3 kits are only good for one thing: making power cheap. That's it. 11 to 17, I wouldn't bang fifth on a stage 3 MT82. You can break third because it's stock gears. Listen to the hearing you posted. It seems like no one knows what they're talking about on both sides. V6 guys are putting 2-3 blowers on 3.7s, blowing bottom ends out the bitch. Any thoughts on the On3? Already got that. Who was the guy with the Gasser Mustang and what race class was in it? Poor boy, that's not a race class. He does no prep stuff. No prep. He basically made an old school Gasser style Mustang for no prep, and it does pretty well, apparently, or will do pretty well. Alex, I'm running on a ported Trinity on my Mystic Cobra Coyote Swap via the Department of Boost Kit. I believe he's working on something for the Gen 3s. Please get on it. Mike in Connecticut, Polaris doesn't do for the most part. My Calamar Stage 2 D4 is fucking solid. I love it. The D4 MT82 should now be the standard. The 11 to 17 transmissions are fine, but I can't give you the go-ahead to go Billy Badass unless it's a Stage 3. Stage 2, better shift pads, shift forks or synchros or polishing, whatever. But the gears are stock, and that's what breaks, the gears. D4, on the other hand, has better gears. Once you upgrade to a Stage 2, it's got billet shift forks. You're not going to break that bitch. And if you do, you're doing something wrong. You have to put them on 3 times, correct. The On3 kit does not mean you go on 3. It means you put it on 3 times because of the fitment. I heard you say before you used to be a Millwright industrial maintenance. Just curious to hear more about that and see if any of that transferred over to you in diagnosing cars. Yes, Cole Daniel. As a Millwright, you are around a lot of rotating equipment. So you're around gearboxes a lot. You're around electric motors, which told me that the future is electric. The moment I understood and grasped the power of an electric motor, I went, this properly geared, properly like a VFD, a variable frequency drive, proper traction control, instant torque. There is no run up to torque. It's like, boom, there's the torque. It'll change the world. And it did. Elon Musk, Tesla changed everything because what is now the measuring stick, right? Not the ZR1. The ZR1 used to be the measuring stick. The Z06 used to be the measuring stick. The Mustang used to be the measuring stick. The Hellcats. Now it's a 4,500 pound sedan that's electric. Imagine that. Who would have thought in 2022 the racing measuring stick, the thing you want to beat the most, is a sedan. 4,500 plus pounds, fully electric. Bearings. Exactly. Bearings, 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 bearings. When you're around rotating equipment, you get a very good understanding of how bearings work. Thrust, radial, axial loads, all that stuff. Well, you said loads. When you know what a radial load versus axial versus thrust, and you understand how to shim a preload something properly, when you understand what alignment does to a coupling, when you understand electric motors, when you understand pumps, when Four Innovations tells you run one pump constant and another on a Hobbs, and I go, why? Why can't you run two pumps constant? It returns back to the tank. Oh, you're going to get it really hot. You're going to get it really hot. Meanwhile, 3-4 years later of me running two pumps hot, one on a Hobbs, zero issue because it's returning. Now, a lot of people will tell you this. Well, Alex is going to get the fuel hot. Tell me what gets the fuel hot or hotter. A true return system, meaning fuel goes up around the rail and then back to the tank, into the car, around the rail, to the regulator, then back to the tank. Or regulator returns at the regulator and the regulator deadheads at the fuel rails. I guarantee there are shops right now that go, Alex is so stupid. Of course you want true pressure. You want true pressure across the door. Yeah, at 1,500 horsepower. But everybody else, up to 1,000, you don't have to do a true return. Because what are you doing? You're making the fuel heat up. Because now it's on top of the motor. So what is more likely to get the fuel hot? A true return or something that goes to the regulator, returns at the regulator, and sends the regulated fuel to a deadheaded rail? Talk to me about that shit. Makes sense. Go ahead. Makes sense. Put it on a chalkboard. Put it on a whiteboard. Tell me why I'm wrong. Go ahead and prove it. Bullshit. 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 The thermal heat transfer from the pump, but I don't buy it. Exactly. I'm a steel mill electrician. You're speaking my language now. Right. So imagine you're at a steel mill, right? And you have a coupling, a Falk coupling or a Woods coupling, right? You have a Falk coupling or a Woods coupling. And it is the Falk coupling has a grid on it and it's misaligned, right? What's the first thing that's going to wear besides the grid? The inboard bearing. And people didn't understand that. People didn't understand that if you have a misalignment, they say, well, the grid or the coupler is going to take the brunt of the load and it's replaceable. So all I have to do is put a straight edge on it and you're good. Well, guess what happens? That load is carried through the shaft to the first bearing, which is the inboard bearing, the motor side bearing. And all of a sudden, people don't know why the motor side bearing keeps busting. So if you're a steel mill tech and you have an inboard motor side bearing constantly running hot, busting, and the shop foreman says, just replace the bearing. What do you mean just replace the bearing? It shouldn't be running hot. Why does a bearing run hot? Either the tolerances on the shaft or the bore are, meaning you're crushing either out in or in out, meaning if the shaft is too big, hail, and you're putting too much strain on the actual cage where the roller, where the ball bearings are, or if the bore is too small and pushing down that way, that is called a radial load. Axial load is when you have a misalignment and the axial load transfers through the shaft and kills the bearing. Fuck, I made bank changing inboard bearings. And I think that last minute that I spoke, I guarantee people think I'm just a dumbass. And then they hear me talk about that and I can transfer that into car stuff and they think I don't know shit. I have forgotten more shit than most people in this car industry know. They think they got one up on me because they can bolt on. You can bolt on a 6R80 and a converter and a blower and a fuel system and you know stuff? Bro, you do that 3 times, you're an expert. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Class in session. Alex has taught me more than what school has. Alex on point. how about pumps, right? We can talk about pumps and pump sizing and cavitation, but people don't want to hear that shit. Our heavy duty bearings are defeat device. There's also classifications for bearings, C1, C2, C3, like a SKF 6510. An SKF 6510 or a Nachi. Nachi, I'm not a big Nachi fan. SKF is baller shit. FAG, yes, there is a bearing called FAG. And now look, it's a German bearing. You'd laugh so hard. Let me see images. When I saw these bearings come out, I was like, wait, is this a real bearing? And they're like, yeah, this is FAG, which is a German company. These are actual bearings, dude. Now, this is a tapered roller. This is a tapered roller. This is a ball bearing. This is a dual tapered roller. So basically, the difference between a single row and a dual row is just the designation in the front number. So a 6306 is a single row bearing. A 5306 is a double row bearing. So these are all single rows. See, 6208. 7 series is basically the outside race is independent of the inside race, and it can swivel like this. So a 7 series and a 6 series, the difference is that the outside cage swivels basically, and it's a dual row. Actually, it's meant to be stacked on top of each other. So typically you see 2 7 series bearings stacked on each other, and a 6 series bearing, you see it single use. Roller bearings have a ton of radial load. So like a pump that's sitting this way. So basically you'll see more roller bearings on a pump that sits this way than a vertical pump. So a pump that is positioned this way with an impeller, typically you have either a double row or a 2-7 series bearings over here, or a big roller bearing to take up more of the load. Yeah, dude, legit. Look at that. See? Oh, I love it. Oh, my baby. Torque Storm, Whipple and Torque Storm vending machines. Alex, I guarantee 90% of the watchers lost you there. Look, I know what I know, and I don't have to like, I hate coming across like a smart guy because people think that I talk out of my ass, but I'm telling you, when it comes to bearings, pumps, and alignment, I got 90% of this industry covered. Covered because I did it for 15 years in many different power plants, nuclear power plants, coal-fired, natural gas, hospitals, you name it. I worked everywhere and anywhere. It's crazy. Yeah, bearings are big boy money, guys. Bearings ain't no joke. All right, guys, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I like talking bearings. I like talking fuel system stuff, and I like talking water system stuff because that's what I know. That's what I know. And electric motor stuff. It's a part of my career that served me well, but I don't talk a lot about it because why? Like, there's no money in it for me. I don't want to come across like I'm like smarter than everybody. I just talk about it. We grease our dyno bearings annually, all-wheel drive dyno jet. I don't understand. Puro 956. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you very much for indulging me into this EPA heavy chat. Lawyers. For the RESC versus EPA petition, listen to this fucking chat. This chat gave you the template. It gave you the template as to the hypocrisy, as to how Ford can sell you a Cobra Jet, but you can't build it at home. And that is 100% hypocrisy. If the EPA is okay with Ford doing it and Dodge and Chevy, they should be okay with us doing it with a VIN number and saying it's race car only. But they don't. And that's where they lose the argument. I'm out of here, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Talk to more shit. Maybe more bearing talk. We'll see. All right, guys. See you guys later.